Let's finally end our series on how to bless your children. It's very important, of course, before we start praying today, let me just make a few statements. I'm watching my time so that I will not spend all the time talking. And the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. So this prophet will have to make sure that his spirit obeys him today. All right? What I want us to do is just take some prayer points the way we normally do here when we are praying, especially on what we have been praying about, teaching about over the last many weeks on how to bless your children. Remember, life is spiritual, all right? If you read the book of Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things that are seen did not come out of the things that are visible, things that are that you can see, all right? The things that are seen, all right? Now, what that means simply, let me say it again. We can't say this is enough. What that simply means is that if you see a young man, a young woman successful in life, don't assume it's because his father is rich. Don't assume it's because he has a qualification from America. You know, Pastor Courage and I were still talking yesterday night, and we're analyzing it again. You have to be careful that you don't plan life so much that it's as if you think you have all the wisdom to tackle the matters of life. Like I say about education, education is good. Education is like food. Do you understand? If you don't eat, you know, you will not be able to sustain your flesh. In the same manner, education is for your intellect. It is not a guarantee of wealth. Please get that point. It is not a guarantee of anything. It's given to open your mind. It's given to develop you. And that's why I say to young people, students, all right, when you go to university, make sure university actually goes through you. Do you understand? Don't just leave that place and you have a qualification. You must have a worldview. You must be enlightened. You must know things. You know, don't just read. They tell you, okay, you are going to take 8 courses this semester, 2 credits here, 3 credits here, 5 credits here. At the end of the day, once you get your minimum credit, you are happy. After that, the only thing you know in life is Manchester United and Chelsea. You are not educated, all right? You are not educated. You are still close to a barbarian. Do you understand my point? You should know things more than that. I was telling my students today, I was giving a lecture in the university earlier on today, and I explained to them that sometimes you hear a public lecture. I said, go for the public lecture. Even though it's not, nobody's going to examine you on it. You know, listen to lectures. You know, what those lectures do for you is that they open your mind. They help you to know life, all right? You shouldn't go through life half blind. Do you understand? You can't understand why things are happening. You know, they say when things happen in the world, there are 3 groups of people. There are those who observe what's happening, and there are those, they say there are those who make things happen. There are those that watch things happen, and there are those who wonder what happened. All right? You know, for you to be amongst those that make things happen, you must, you know, have an open mind. All right? You must have, when I say open mind, I don't mean mind open that anything can be tossed inside. I mean a broad mind. That's what I mean. A mind that has seen things, you know? And that's what education does for you. That's the primary thing. People say university graduates don't have jobs. Who said they should have jobs? I don't know whether you get my point. Who's going to give them the job? Did their father create one job waiting for them outside there? You know, universities, the higher institutions were created, all right, so that you can go out and create jobs, not to go and queue and say, okay, where are the jobs people created? Like somebody said, life doesn't owe you anything. It got here first. You came after. Do you understand my point? Yes, you know, you must bear that in mind. So that's what it is. Education is very good. I'm going to emphasize that again. It's very good, all right? It doesn't guarantee. That's what we are going to. It does not guarantee anything. You can't say, now I must be rich in life because I've eaten plenty. Have you ever heard that before? You say, this life, I must be rich. Why? You don't see my pounded yam. When I eat, the building, they shake. Does that make me rich? In the same manner, because you are educated, it does not make you rich. It's so important to understand this. Now, what makes somebody rich in life, let's just get that clear, is the blessing of God. What did I say? The blessing of God. The Bible makes it clear, it makes rich. It makes rich. And that's what we Christians need to understand. That by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the blessing of God and not by education, the degree that we got. It was not, the wealth is not framed by which country I was born in. Like I've been trying to explain all this while, that people spend money, they want to go and have their children in America, they want to go and have their children in, these are the 2 countries we run to now. You know, they pass America and UK. Those are the 2. Very soon, people will add South Africa. I just added that one yet. So some people are really trying it. Anyway, those are the two we rush to. Now, like I say all the time, you can have your children anywhere. The advantage your child has for being born in UK or in America is the same advantage as being born on Mount Kilimanjaro. There is no, what I've said is not a joke. You may as well go and give birth to your child on Mount Kilimanjaro. It is the same thing. At the end of the day, what's going to put substance in the life of your child is not where he was born. Because there are those who were born and bred in America, they are poor today. Yeah. All you need to do, go to this America if you want to die to go there. You will see queues of people begging for food. You see this junction here, you see as young boys come there to come and beg. This washing of glass did not start in Nigeria to collect money. They are the ones that invented it. No, just get to an American junction as you park also. Other people come to your window, tap. In fact, they don't speak. They normally carry placards. You see all kinds of things. I've seen things like this. Somebody say, already have a burger, just need milk. Yeah, that's how they beg. What the man is saying is, truly, somebody before you give me a burger. So do you have any milk? And when he says milk, he didn't say buy me milk. The one you drank and you did not finish, don't throw out of the window, give it to me. It's all over the world. It's all over the world. So don't use your money to say, I want to give my child the future. We've established that. No, it is children that are born in Zion that are safe. It is children that are born in Zion. Those are the ones that God puts a mark beside them. Say, this one was born in Zion. Don't say, let me lay up money for them. Only a foolish person does that. The Bible says, Jesus said it clearly. Do not lay up treasure on the earth. Two things happen to treasure on the earth. One, moth destroy. What is moth when it comes to cash? It is inflation. It is bank collapse. It is collapse of the stock market. That will happen. Nobody can pray that one away. And two, thieves do break in and steal. And that one is clear. Somebody will steal the money one day. If you store it there long enough, it's going to lose value. Somebody is going to take it away from you. Sometimes not thieves are breaking and steal. Government breaks in and steal. In some countries, they just levy tax. Boom. That's it. Your money is gone. So all these physical things don't guarantee a destiny. We were talking about that. What guarantees a destiny is spiritual. Are you getting my point? And that's why we have to pray for our children. We have to bless them. Isaac said concerning what he prayed, what he told Jacob. He was speaking to Esau. I have sustained him with grain and with new wine, by the power of the words. By the power of the words. We have already established also that God blesses children because of their parents. How you live your life today is going to affect your children. It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. God will say, look, this boy, I will have destroyed you. But were he not, you know, your father, he served me with his whole heart. And he said a prayer for you. For his sake, let me forgive you. I said parents are what? Doorkeepers. You decide the kind of spirit that enters into your home. By the kind of place you go to, the kind of interactions you have in spiritual things in life, you determine the kind of spirit that enter into your house. Let's never forget it. Now, of course, this is our school of prayer, and that's why I want to end it with praying about all of these things. Very importantly, pray for your children. You say, I don't have children yet. Pray for them anyway. The prayer will be stored up. Prayer has value. It's a spiritual substance. It can be kept. How do I know? Go and check the Bible. It's like, you know, like you have this the sensor in which into which you've been poured the prayers of the saints. Prayer can be stored. There are things that Jesus prayed about then that still affecting you till today. How do I know? He said simply to the when he was praying in that book of John around chapter 17, he said, "I'm praying not just for them, but for those who will believe through the words that they will preach." Do you understand that? So the prayer that Jesus prayed is affecting you till now. The prayer he prayed thousands of years ago while he was walking on this earth is affecting you till today. So store up prayers for your children. They may be 1, 2, 3 years old now, or they are not even born yet. Drop a prayer when you remember it concerning their education in 10 years' time, in 20 years' time. You make them smart by offering prayers and by prophesying. You make them rich by offering prayers and by prophesying. It is not, look, you cannot, I don't need to say it again. You can't guarantee that many rich people of just a few years ago, as of today, when you see their children, you can't believe the father was ever rich. Many parents have lavished and spent money on children that are not interested in reading. You can have money to spend on education, and the person who wants to spend it on does not want to read. So you find there are times that somebody has money to spend on education, and the person you are trying to spend it on doesn't want to read. Many men have used money to send their children to trouble. I remember the story of Pastor Paul Adeolu Adefarasin. He will tell the story, so I'm not gossiping behind him. I heard it when he was preaching on the pulpit. And his brother, I heard his brother's testimony by himself. This was on 700 Club, or either was 700 Club, or what's the other one? Turning Point, one of the two of them, yes. And he described how, as a young boy, his allowance those days was $50,000 a year, thereabout. Other dollars or pounds, something like that. And as a young boy, he had two cars, had a nice, decent flat or house he was staying in. And that was the ruin of his life. Father was sending him money. What was he doing with the money? He was buying cocaine to have parties during the weekends. He left UK, went to US. He continued at the worst speed. His brother, the same thing. The first one I talked about is Pastor Paul's brother. This other one, Pastor Paul himself, said those days all he was living for was crack. Get him highly purified cocaine. Why? His father had money to send him to school. Why was this? His father had the money. So listen, money doesn't guarantee you anything. You have to be very, very foolish to still be hoping in money. Both of them, their heads corrected back in Nigeria, not in America. When God wanted to restore them, they had to come home. And it was prayers that restored them. What does that tell you? Those prayers could have ensured they didn't go that way. I like the way, what's the name of that your friend that used to preach on TV? That tall man. Missed the mess. Oh, what is his name? Anyway, forgotten his name now. Anyway, the man preached a message. He said, he called it, you can miss that mess. So my wife used to call the man, miss the mess. What the man was saying is that you don't have to enter into trouble and then get deliverance. It is possible to live your life in such a manner that don't even enter it at all. And I'm saying this, those people that have to be delivered with prayer, locally, not internationally, those prayers could have prevented them, offered appropriately, and the right actions taken could have prevented them from entering into those messes that were. Is it like messes? Anyway, the mess that each person entered into. And that's what we are saying. Pray for your children. That's what we are saying. That is what they need. Just two things. Your prayers and then your own life style of righteousness. Your prayers include petitions to God and two, direct prophesying over their head. Make it a habit. That's what I wanted to just summarize today, all right? I'm happy I was able to control that spirit. So we're not talking for too long. I want to just summarize everything today. And the way we normally do, I just lead the prayer. Like I said, it's a school of prayer. This is not a prayer meeting primarily. What is it? A school. So we come to create habits based on understanding, not just habits based on routine, but based on understanding. So when you want to do things, you know why you are doing what you are doing. It's not just I've offered my prayers. No. Like, have you said your prayers today? No. You know that when you are saying these things, you are talking to a child who's 1, 2, 3, and you are already saying things that will be effective only when this fellow is 20. And you know it. You know, as if you pray today, say, I never see effect tomorrow. No. You know, this one I'm saying to you now, I don't expect to see the effect in 20 years. And some of them, I will never physically see it. Some of them will be manifested after I will have left this earth. Do you understand? If I tell you, for example, that maybe I'm talking to the child, and I prophesy that you will see your children's children and their own children. That one, I don't know how long I'm going to live to see the last one being prophesied. Do you understand my point? Being fulfilled. So some of those things, I know they will be fulfilled long after. But as I'm uttering those words, I know that they are working. They are working. They are being stored up. And they can't be wasted. They are the words of God. You know, when I utter them, I said that the blessing of God is not just a blessing from God, right? It's a spiritual substance in the mouth of covenant parents. So I know once, as a covenant child of God, I'm uttering words into the lives of my children, those words will not fall to the ground. They must come to pass. There are things that God will have to suspend so that the word may be fulfilled in the lives of my children. And that's something we must do as habits, all of us. And we are here not just to learn, not just to pray, but to learn. All right? So what we're going to do today, all right, is just take some words of both of them, both supplication and prophetic words. Both of them, that's what we're going to do. We're going to utter thanksgiving. We're going to offer up thanksgiving. We're going to offer supplications, all right? And then we're going to prophesy. And our prayers specifically are concerning our offspring. We are praying for our children. This is the substance that they need. Your son will see India him. They will see him around. There are boys that when they want to join cults, even if they come to the cult, say, I want to join, the cult will refuse to join them. You understand my point? Why? Because they know that his presence, you know, angels are real. They are real. They will walk around with the boys. Anywhere they go, they will scatter things. The boy says, okay, tomorrow I'm going to smoke this in their hand. When he gets there, two angels will be smoking ahead of him, you know. They are waiting. Once they enter, they will slap. Say, please, this is where they are selling their hand. He said, yes. You want to smoke? Bam! What can I do you now? What does it matter? In his mind, your father has prayed that you will never smoke. Bah! They will beat. The boy will link smoking with beating. He will never smoke in his life. Why? Because you prayed. The day he gets to the joint, they will so beat him, he won't come back. So one day when you see your son with swollen cheek, don't ask him what happened. Don't worry. He's some angel. And those people are not people. They are angels. So please, I've told you, don't have the impression that all the people in heaven, they are nice. Some angels there are not nice people. Michael is not a nice person. The angels that move with Michael, they are not nice people. If you not be careful, the way we say it, if you not be careful yourself near them, they will even kill you before they realize you're a child of God. He said, what do I mean? Go and ask Balaam. Go and ask Balaam. He was saying, prophet of God. One angel was going to kill him. It was the donkey possessed by another spirit that saved his life. Don't have the impression that every angel in heaven is a nice guy. Some of them, they don't smile. They are not angry with you. They are not happy with you. They are just there. You want to pull that from scriptures again? Go and check. Ask when they got to Jericho. Our brother's name?
Joshua
was moving around. He saw one angel. He didn't know it was an angel. He said, on whose side are you? The guy said, I'm not on your side. I'm not against you. This is Israel you're talking about. God was leading them. They asked, on whose side are you? I'm not on anybody's side. Anybody vex me, they will understand. So if you don't want me to be against you, obey God. That's what the angel was saying. What am I trying to say? When your sons, your daughters want to misbehave, God will release some of the apprentices of Michael. Why did I say apprentice? Those ones, they don't kill people, they just beat people. The boy will get to where they were smoking in their hand. He wants to buy because his friends have been pushing you to, you must smoke. Two angels will go there, beat your son, no? They'll beat him so well. They won't injure him. They know how to beat so that you won't be injured. They are well trained. That boy will never smoke again. Why? Because the father prayed that he will not smoke. Your son wants to go to a party. Your daughter wants to go to a party that God didn't send her. Don't worry, at the door, somebody will rough all the makeup. That is, they go tear your cloth. You go run, go house. Why? It's an angel of God that disguised to tell you, oh girl, you don't belong here. Your father said to us that you must never be found in such places. So our job is to ensure that you can't disobey that word. Do you understand my point? That's what it means to lead in the path of righteousness by force. Do you understand what I'm saying? Why? Because somebody who had charge over that individual prayed. Do you understand what I'm going to explain? Listen, Jesus said concerning Peter, he said, Satan has desired to sift you all like wheat. He has petitioned. He said, but I have prayed for you. I'm going to do a series later on how to silence the demands of Satan. Satan makes demands. He contended for the body of Moses. He went to God and demanded to deal with Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, all of them. And Jesus got wind of it and prayed for Peter that his faith may not fail and that when he has been converted, he will be able to strengthen the other people. That was an answer to the demand of Satan. What I'm saying, you also will pray for your children so that no matter what Satan wants to do to them, your prayers will stand against the demand of the enemy. That's what we are talking about. Our life is spiritual. You get my point? That's why I said, let me make this statement again and we'll start talking. The poor and the rich, they have one thing in common. Don't ever forget that. The poor and the rich, they have what? One thing in common. Proverbs says that God is the maker of them all. But this is the application of it. There is nothing the rich man can give his child that the poor man can't if he understands spiritual things. The rich man will say, okay, here is $50,000. Go to a good school. The poor man will say, kneel down here. What I need is 50 minutes. The other man has $50,000. Good. I need 50 minutes. Kneel down here. I will make you a university professor. I don't have the money. I don't have the connection. But I have the words. And I understand that these words are more powerful than $50,000. So kneel down here. And the poor man faces that boy and begins to say to him, you will be a leader amongst men. You will be smart. All kinds of degrees will be given to you. Men will fall over themselves to do you favor. Doors will open in the name of Jesus. You will go into research. You will discover things that men did not know. In 15 minutes, he has made that guy the head of the man that the father had paid $50,000 for. The poor and the rich have one thing in common. They have access to all divine resources. That's what they were saying. Sometimes money is a disadvantage. Too much of it, you don't think anymore. You say money answereth all things. We sometimes use it and not realize that some statements of fact are just statements of fact. It doesn't mean you should follow them like that. Everything that goes up must come down. That is true. It doesn't mean now you want something to come down and now be throwing everything up. No, you've learnt it. Money can solve a lot of problems. That is a matter of fact. But it doesn't mean you should throw money at everything. The poor and the rich have one thing in common. Divine resources are available for any one of them that will stretch forth his hands or her hands to grab hold of them. You grab hold of those resources, use them concerning your children, and their lives will never be average. Let's rise to our feet. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. First of all, let's just start by giving God thanks. It's always important. Let's just thank God. Just begin to give him thanks there. I want you to declare thanksgiving to the Lord. Say it loud. Lord, I thank you because of your word. I thank you because the poor and the rich, they have one thing in common. Thank him for it. That the poor and the rich, they have one thing in common. God is the maker of them all. Therefore, thank him because everything that you need, you have. Thank him. Say, Lord, I thank you because I do not have any lack. It doesn't matter whether I'm poor or I am rich. The important thing is that you are my maker. Say, Lord, I thank you that you are my maker. Say, Lord, I thank you because I have your resources. I thank you because I have everything that I need. I wanted to declare it to God. Say, Lord, I thank you. But even though I may not have plenty of money, yet it is well with my children. So is it relevant? Even if I have plenty of money, I remove my eyes from the things that I have. I declare that it is well with my children. Remember, whether you have them now or currently, it doesn't matter. Pray for them now. These prayers, remember, it's going to be stored up. It will work for them at the appropriate time. Thank God. Say, Lord, I thank you for understanding. That I understand purpose. Say, Lord, I understand purpose. What do you mean by purpose? I recognize that I am not, those children are not mine. They are yours, sent into my home for training. Say, Lord, I accept the responsibility in the name of Jesus. He said, I have chosen Abraham so that he may command his children and his household after him in the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice. Say, Lord, I accept that responsibility. And I dedicate myself again. I will train my children in the way of the Lord so that they may do righteousness and justice. Declare to God, say, Lord, I thank you for understanding. I thank you because I'm a covenant child of yours. Therefore, the power of the blessing is in my mouth. You can use the very words that I'm using. You can use your own words. You can pray in the spirit. You can pray in other tongues. You can do any one, but just make sure that you are communicating these things spiritually. Say to the Lord, say, Lord, I thank you. Because I am a covenant child of yours. Therefore, the power of the blessing is in my mouth. Isaac was able to bless Jacob because he was a son of Abraham. In the same manner, spiritually speaking, by faith, we are children of Abraham. Therefore, declare, Lord, I am a child of Abraham. I am a child of Abraham by faith. I'm a covenant child of yours. Therefore, the spiritual blessing is in my mouth. And I can declare this blessing upon my household. And I can declare this blessing upon my children. First scripture I want to read as we are praying this prayer today is from the book of Isaiah chapter 8. Let me quickly just open that. If you have your Bibles handy, you can open it. Otherwise, don't worry yourself. I will read it out loud. From the book of Isaiah chapter 8. I like one thing he said in verse 18. He said, behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells on Mount Zion. Let's read together. Verse 18. He said, behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells on Mount Zion. We'll begin to declare now these words. Just say it loud. Say, in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I am for signs,
I am for signs
and I am for wonders.
I am for wonders.
My children are for signs,
my are for signs
and my children are for wonders.
And my are for wonders.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Let me say something to you. When we say signs and wonders, what it means is that God will do something unique in their lives that people will be able to talk about. Are you getting my point? It's very important. You have to learn to expect great things. You must learn to expect great things. Don't let the world define things for you. Even if you have a child and say the child is sick, don't worry about it. Don't say, God, why did you give me this child? Remember the scripture. It says what? Your child is for what? For signs and wonders. That these people will look and say, you mean this happened in the life of this child? He said, then I know your God indeed is alive. Are you getting my point? That's what he's talking about. So declare it. You can say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Every one of my children.
Every one of my children.
They are for signs.
They are for signs.
And they are for wonders.
And they are for wonders.
They will affect their generation.
They will affect their generation.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus.
Say, I declare that none will be average.
None will be average.
None will be average.
None will be average.
But all of them will be signs.
All of them will be signs.
And they will be wonders.
And they will be wonders.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Say, they will do the will of God for their lives. They will walk in the path of righteousness.
They will, walk in the path of righteousness.
They will do righteousness.
They will do righteousness.
And they will do justice.
And they will do justice.
They will do righteousness.
They will do righteousness.
And they will do justice.
And they will do justice.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus.
Say, I pronounce the word of God over them.
I pronounce the word of God over them.
Hear me, my children.
Hear me, my children.
You are for signs.
You are for signs.
Every bit of your life.
Every bit of your life.
Will demonstrate the glory of God.
Will demonstrate the glory of God.
You are for wonders.
You will manifest the power of God
in this life,
in
the name of Jesus Christ.
Listen,
in case any parents, you know, either you are here or you're not here, all right, and you are listening to this, I want to do something. We can't do that now, all right? But take time out and take your children one by one. If they are present, put them there and face them and declare these words upon them one by one. If the fellow is not around, put his photograph. Don't worry about it. If you don't have picture, just lie down, close your eyes. Picture him, picture her in front of your eyes and begin to talk. This is not prayer now. You are telling him. You are telling her. Say, listen to me. You are for signs and for wonders. That is, your birth is a sign. Your life is a wonder. And that is how you will live. And you are telling them. Nobody say, please, it will have been nice for you to be a sign. Don't ever forget it. The poor and the rich have one thing in common. What are we talking about? That, listen, this is one thing that nobody charges money for. You don't need to have money to use these resources. What you need to have is discipline. What you need to have is faith. What you need to, look, don't let people distract you. Don't let people put you under tension. Oh, hey, madam, how's your child? Oh, you have gone to, you now mention the name of one child spoiling school for you. You know what they call child spoiling school? Schools that children go to, they don't make their bed, they don't wash their clothes, they don't do anything. They want to help you spoil your child for that. They are not scolded, they are not flogged, everything is, don't worry, don't worry. Child just wake up in the morning, bring out the nails, they clean it for him. Why? Because the father is paying 1 million naira a term. At the end of the day, they will help you spoil your child for that. You can go to any school you like, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about, don't let anybody now put you under tension. You are afraid to tell people the name of the school that your child is going. Why? Because all of them are sending their children to schools where they pay, you know, 1 million naira a term. Like when I'm teaching my students, I talk about what I call, you know, there's a apart from the subjects I teach heart failure. So I said, when I want to illustrate what we call high output heart failure, I tell them about high output husband failure. That there are some husbands that are in trouble. Not because they are not working hard, not because God is not blessing them, because their wives have decided that, look, oh, my daughter too must go to, let me not mention any school now so that somebody won't be on edge. Mention one school. Why? Because he went to work and all the friends, they send their children to school. To express, you're not at peace anymore. Christmas has come now, some women are not happy. Why? They say Christmas, long vacation. Because their friends' children have gone to America, they've gone to Europe for holiday, and they can't afford it. One of the things I like about my life, I will tell you ahead of time. So, Pastor Banky, why are your children? They are not horror in Benin. Where are they? Are they for a career? Why did they not go to the U.S.? I don't have the money. When I tell you once like that, I don't have to worry about it again. Once I've told you once, I don't have to worry about it again. I said, oh, my children just came from Switzerland. They just came. I said, eh? Oh, they went to Switzerland? Now, wow. Me, I can't afford it. What are they doing? They are skiing. Don't worry. These ones have gone to swim in the river. The poor and the rich have one thing in common. You see, I wish people would understand it. Many of the things that you're envying rich people for, you understand? You have things that are better than that. No, human beings are never satisfied. Nigerians will go to America. Americans will go to Europe. Europeans will go to America. Everybody must go somewhere. Some will now come to Africa to come and see, you know. They want to see lizards and see, what do you call it? They want to see goats. Some people have never seen goats. And when you give them bushmeat, they think it's a delicacy. Bushmeat. I killed bushmeat myself as a child. You never did? Rat. It doesn't have to be inside the bush. Just the one. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I'm going to emphasize something. Listen, there's nothing. Look, you're talking about the destiny of your children. You are not at a disadvantage at all. Declare again. Say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I have all the resources that I need.
To give my children a brilliant destiny.
Say it, I am a covenant child of God.
I am for signs
and I am for wonders.
And I declare
that every one of my children,
they are for signs
and they are for wonders.
Please
let me give you 30 seconds. Some of you know the names of your children already. Quickly begin to declare it one by one. Those of you who don't know, just be declaring my children. Some people, look, I named my children before I had them. Some people will be praying for days after their child has been born. I don't know. Me, as my wife is delivering, is it a boy or a girl? If it is a boy, the name is waiting. I knew if I had a son first, his name would be Akiolu and his name would be David. Anyone after that, I knew his name would be Olubenga, and his name would be Daniel. I was naming those children before they were conceived. Call those children by name and declare to him, declare to her. And let the child know when they come to your home, they are not missing anything. Don't be intimidated by people's material resources. Don't be. Don't be intimidated by anybody's material resources. The poor and the rich, they have this thing in common. These resources are spiritual and they all have access to it.
You will destroy the works of the enemy and establish men in righteousness by the preaching of truth in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Father.
Oh, Father, we give you thanks in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, there's one prayer, you know, there was something that God said when through Nathan to David. I just want to read that scripture to us here. That's in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. And that God says, you know, these are the things I want, I will let the children of Israel ask me to do for them. I will increase them like a flock. So you can make specific requests about things to the Lord, especially when you have precedence in his word. That's what I want to read from here. Quickly, 2 Samuel chapter 7. Now, because of time, I'll rush to the point really that I want. But this starts from verse 8. Nathan was speaking here. God was speaking to Nathan to go and tell David. From verse 8, he said, "Now, therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord, I took you from this pasture, from following the sheep." And they describe all the things that God did in his life. He said in verse 12, he said, "When your days are complete and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendants after you, who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me." Now notice this one, verse 14. "I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. When he commits iniquity, I will correct him with the rod of men and the strokes of the sons of men. But my loving kindness, even while I'm correcting him, shall not depart from him, as I took it away from Saul, who I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever, shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever." Now, I want you to notice something here. This was what God said concerning the children of David. He said, "This is what I will do for your son. Even when he disobeys me, I will correct him. I will use different methods, but even in the correction, my loving kindness will not depart from him." I want you to just utter a prayer to the Lord concerning your children. Is that, you've seen it there, very simple. Say, "Lord," it's very simple, simple words. Say, "Lord, let your loving kindness never depart from my children." It's a very simple prayer. Say, "Lord, in the name of Jesus, I am asking you that your loving kindness would never depart from my children. Lord, even if they disobey you, correct them. Let them be your own personal children. These are requests you are making. Correct them with your loving kindness. Return them into the path of righteousness. Like I was saying earlier, sound like in Job. The boy goes to where they are smoking Indian hemp. The rod of men is those men who will beat him and send him back home. He won't come there again. And that's what God said here concerning David. If your son disobeys me, I will correct him. I may have to discipline him, but I will correct him. While I am doing that, my loving kindness will not depart from him. Therefore, ask for your children. Say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, my children, let your loving kindness never depart from them. Correct them, Lord, when you need to. Correct them with your loving kindness. Discipline them, Lord, with your hand, but let your loving kindness never depart from them. Say, Lord, cause them to serve you all the days of their lives. Cause them, Lord, to walk in the path of righteousness. Lord, I dedicate them to you again. You send them to me, and Lord, I'm dedicating them to you. Remember Samuel. He was sent into the house of Hannah, but Hannah gave him to the Lord. In the same manner, you don't have to go and drop our children these days in a particular temple. We can give them fully to the Lord. Do your own portion. Say to the children, you will serve God. I dedicate you to God. Hannah did not ask Samuel's permission. As soon as Elkanah agreed, because Elkanah was part of that agreement, he did not annul it. She did not ask for Samuel's permission. That's the son. She dedicated him to the Lord. Dedicate your children to the Lord also. Say to them, you will build the house of God. That's what God was saying here. You will build the house of God. You will preach the gospel of Jesus. You will manifest the glory of God. Say, Lord, let everyone serve you as I'm giving them to you right now. I dedicate, as they are born, I dedicate them to the service of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the service of our Heavenly Father. I say to each one of them, be filled with His Spirit. Oh, that's why I say, look, everybody, give your child, you can give many names, but let one of those names have something to do directly with the name of God. When I call my son Akiolu, the Olu there is short for the Lord. All my children, they have a name like that. In summary, we are saying to our children, you will serve God. I dedicate you to God. You are God's property. Once again, say, Lord, your loving kindness will not depart away from these children. You will cause them to walk in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. You will lead them, Lord, by your Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Just as that same prayer we are praying. Let's pray for them. Simple. They wait. Look, we can be interceding for the bushmen in one jungle somewhere that they will know the gospel. Directly also, let's say to those children, and we are asking the Lord and we are telling them, say, Lord, you will give them understanding of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Open their eyes to understand it. So that when they hear it, they will know indeed that Jesus died for them. And that they are supposed to live serving Him. It's simple. Say, Lord, give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Let the eyes of their understanding be enlightened. Lord, let them believe in you. Say, Jesus, take them and let them understand the gospel. It's simple. It's simple. Let's pray that prayer in a minute. You can use the same words that I used. You don't have to manufacture big words. They are just simple. Say, Lord, I have dedicated these children to you. But the real service of God begins with the knowledge of the saving grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, Lord, open their eyes to see it. everything that will blind their eyes from seeing the truth of the glory of the gospel of Jesus. I rebuke it now in the name of Jesus. That as early as is possible, as God says, look, you have reached the age of accountability, they will hear that gospel and they will believe it. You will hear that gospel. You are talking to one of them. You will believe it. And the next one, you take his name. You take her name. You will hear this gospel and you will believe it. And you will dedicate your life to this gospel. Remember, it is the children that are born in Zion that we are talking about. It is the children that are born in Zion. Say, you will be born in Zion. Remember. Say, you will be born in Zion. Remember, we read that from the book of Psalms 87. It said, God will take a special note and say, this one and that one were born in her. He said, but of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her. Oh, Father, we give you thanks. There was something that Jesus Christ said, and I want you to note it. Remember we said these are our children? They were sent into our homes. No, we said that. That is, God gave them to you. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Even if you can't see them physically, let me tell you again, God gave those children to you.
Amen.
I said give. Say, I'm not married yet. I know what I'm saying. God has given them to you.
Amen.
And remember, Jesus said, of all the ones that you gave me, I did not lose any. Apart from the son of perdition who was already perditioned. You understand my English there? That his own destiny was, he was sent. Jesus said, I chose you 12. One of you is a thief. The day he was chosen, God knew something. Jesus knew something was out of order. But remember, we prayed a prayer. The son of, in fact, let's quickly pray it again. Just declare it in a few sentences. Say, the son of perdition. It can be a woman too. You will not pass through my house. Quickly say it. Say, Lord, the son of perdition will not pass through my home. Go somewhere else if you need to use somebody, not my house. Lord, that is one ministry I'm not volunteering for. Every one of my children will serve the Lord. Everyone. Say, Lord, I declare boldly, like the Lord Jesus Christ, of everyone that you will give to me or you have given me, I will not lose any. 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 None of my children is a child of perdition. No Judas. I refuse the spirit of Judas in my home. Father God, take that spirit somewhere else. Let it not come into my home. I volunteer my home only for the children of righteousness. And I said, Lord, this is my prayer. Of all that you have given me, of all that you are giving to me, none will be lost. None will be lost. I request the resources of heaven to lead them into the sheepfold of the Lord. Every one of my children born in Zion. Every one of my children born in Zion. Every one of my children born in Zion. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm minding our time. Like I said, we're not ending this today. We're just starting it so that we can continue in our various homes. And anybody listening to this from anywhere can learn the lessons of what our children need. Now let's do something. This is one of my favorite parts. You know what I'm talking about, I'm sure. Let's just read that portion of the scriptures. Genesis chapter 27. Quickly. I'm going to read it from backwards. That is, we'll go to the latter verses and then go back to the earlier ones. Genesis chapter 27. Oh, the Bible says there is a proper procedure for everything. Many people want good for their children. Very few people have ever done this thing that we are doing. They have saved money. You see their accounts, fat. They are networking. People, you know, some people, they want children to do what they are teaching them how to lie. Do you know that? You want the child to do well. You are teaching the child how to cheat. My wife, you know, and also in the house today, Pastor Courage, his wife, my wife and I were discussing, I think it was yesterday or today. Parents who teach the children how to copy from the neighbor. A woman actually said this in my wife's presence. Her child didn't pass an exam. She was angry with the child. Why didn't you copy from your neighbor? She said, you mean Christians don't know these things are bad? The child passed an exam by cheating. I said, look, most exam malpractices are paid for by parents. What does the SS child know about money? It's the parents that give them money to go to special centers. Meanwhile, God says, if this child is going to do well, he must learn the way of the Lord in doing righteousness and what? Justice. Many people are setting up their children for failure. So this child, as I born you so, you must fail. That's it. This child, as I born you, failure is your portion. Why? They are teaching the child how to lie, how to cheat. Yet they are saving up money for that child. A child must go to school in Princeton, go to school in Harvard, go to any school, once it's a foreign school, even if they are all Satanists there. Just go to school abroad. Where's your son? Oh, last is his second year in Mention One American University. I'm feeling very happy. Taught him how to lie, how to cheat, how to do everything wrong. And you think you are setting him up for destiny. All we are doing is understanding the right, the proper way for spiritual destiny. The Bible says there's a proper procedure. That's it. Wisdom is to learn the proper procedure. And listen, whether we like it or not, life is life. You didn't make it, you met it. Yeah, you get my point? God made it. 20 years, these things that we are saying, you will see them manifest live. You will see them. You will tell the stories. The only prayer I pray for you, and you will say amen to that, is that your own story will be the good side.
Amen.
Yeah, then the story you'll be nodding. So that time, people will say, if your child doesn't go to school abroad, they can't do well. So all those who went to school abroad, they are working for my son. Listen, your child can go to school anyway. I'm not saying going to school abroad is bad. I'm just saying that if he doesn't have this one, it's a waste of time. After you have put this one in place, you are careful to train the child. Then if God arranges events, you see, it's faith we are addressing. Are you getting my point? It's where your faith is we are addressing. If God now arranges events and says, okay, oh, between you and your wife and your children, you are going to go to Australia, and while you are there, they will go to school, and it's an international school, number one in the world, all well and good. While they are going there, you know this does not mean anything. Your child is doing very well in school. You know, something happens to Christians a lot. They like the faith of God when things are not working well. Let me say what I'm saying. If your child is doing very well in school, you are confident about his destiny. But if he's not doing well in school, you pray about his destiny. Do you understand my point?
Yes.
That is error. No matter how well you are doing in school, I remove my eye from it. When I want to pray for you, I don't think of it. I pray for you like that. You are neutral. I've seen smart, look, when we're in school, when we're medical students, we go to the psychiatric ward. The distribution of people there are equal. Whether you are smart or foolish, it doesn't matter. You can arrive there. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Listen, Christians, let's follow the word of God fully. Do you understand my point? This time when I'm talking about fully, and I mean in every ramification. The other day I went to a church, one brother finished preaching. And I told him, I was blessed by his message. He talked on mercy. We need mercy, we need mercy. At the end I said, so that was a beautiful message. I was really blessed by it. I said, there's only one problem, not with the messenger, with Christians. I said, Christians, you see this thing you've said now, you saw everybody was praying, when you say we need mercy. I said, when it comes to the one they have done well, they're not going to remember. God, I have given, you will bless me. But anyway, they not do badly. Lord, I need mercy. I said, you either take mercy or you take works. You can't take works when you like it and take mercy when things are bad. Do you understand my point? This message that I'm preaching today is for the physically rich and for the physically poor. Are you getting what I'm saying? That if you are hearing this and your children are in Harvard, you still need the message. If you are living there and you have the money, fine. I'm not saying withdraw your children. Did I say that? No. I'm saying realize that you can be in Harvard. You can be in UNILAG. You can be anywhere. It doesn't make any difference. What to make your children is what we are discussing. It's the spiritual substance. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. I'm just saying all the things I say. It seems like, you know, sometimes when you are correcting people, so you seem to lean a bit more to one end. Because sometimes you have to correct the way human, the way my countrymen today, Christians, unbelievers can do what they like. They don't have any hope without God, without hope in this world. You had better use flesh. You know what I mean? Use the flesh method you have. But for those of us that have God, we have hope. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
We have hope. Amen. And we cannot pretend like we don't. We can't behave like we don't. Therefore, we don't put our energy, we don't put our faith in material things. We put our faith first in the word of God. After this, other things now line up. You can see God begin to work miracles in people's lives. You will see a poor man in quotes now, physically speaking. His son will win a scholarship and go to the best universities in the world. And God can use that to set him up. Are you getting my point? But listen, you don't make an idol of the hand of God. That is very important. You don't make an idol of the hand of God. You know what I mean by that? If that's the method God used to set the young man up, that's just a method. There are other methods. You can't say everything must follow that pathway. No. Somebody who didn't think that, my children will go to this kind of university, suddenly wins a scholarship. All of them, the whole family, win scholarship. Boom. All of them line up. People are looking at, how are you doing it? But we still don't make an idol of the hand of God. The only idol we are supposed to have is the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
That's it. We focus on that word and that word alone. We channel our energy. You know, he said the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. They are mighty through God. That's what we use. Everything moves through God. Genesis chapter 27. Like I said, I'm going to read this backwards. That is, we'll read the latter part first, and then we'll go back to how he did it. And then we'll pray with that, give the Lord thanks, and then we'll close. Remember, after Isaac finished blessing Jacob, not realizing it was Jacob, we already explained that his spiritual substance was passed across. And how do I know that? Because when Esau came in and said, I have come to collect the blessing, and he realized that somebody else had gone, Bible says that he trembled. Why did he tremble? Because that's verse 33. Then Isaac trembled violently. That tells us that Isaac knew that something left. The spiritual substance went. And that was why he could not reverse it. And he emphasized, he said, who was it that came? He said, and I blessed him. And he said, surely he shall be blessed. And that one is in verse 33. He said, yes, and he shall be blessed. Even though I knew the person, at least physically speaking, came to steal, it appeared like. He said, but because of that spiritual substance that I felt, it left me. I knew God kept those words in my mouth. When I released it, I knew they were gone. He said, yes, he shall be blessed. And what was it that those words constituted? You go down to verse 37. Isaac said to Esau, this was what I did. He said, behold, I have made him your master, and all his relatives I have given to him as servants. And with grain and new wine, I have sustained him. Notice that. He said, this was what he did. I want us to do that as we leave, before we leave now. What we are going to do is to make our children masters in this life. We are going to make people who don't believe in God, who believe in the arm of flesh, to be their servants. We are going to sustain them with grain and with new wine. Remember that grain refers to basic necessities of life, whereas new wine refers to what? The luxuries of life. That is, if your child wants to buy a private jet, he will be able to afford it. Say amen.
Amen.
That's it. That's what it means to sustain somebody with new wine. If you decide, look, all I want to drive is, I just want to be driving only Rolls Royces, all right? Just a decision. Why? Because I like it. Hear ye the word of the Lord. She will be able to afford it.
Amen.
That's new wine. What is grain? It will not happen that they will look for breakfast they will not have. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He said, I have sustained it with grain. He said, it will not happen that they are looking for clothes they won't have to wear. It will not happen that they will be homeless. That is grain, the basic things of life. But beyond grain, they will have the abundance of this life in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
How did he do it? Let's go back. I said we'll start from there and go backwards. He said from verse 27 towards the end, he says, see, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Now look at the prayer. Now may God give you the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth, and with an abundance of grain and new wine, may people serve you and nations bow down to you, be masters of your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you. That's the summary of all the prayer. Now you are going to sustain your children with grain and with new wine. If you are ready, say amen.
Amen.
First, let's read it together. I will read and you repeat. He said, hear ye the word of the Lord.
Hear ye the word of the Lord.
My children.
My children.
God will give you the dew of heaven.
God will give you the dew of heaven.
And the fatness of the earth.
And the fatness of the earth.
Abundance of grain.
Abundance of grain.
Abundance of new wine.
Abundance of new wine.
Say, peoples will serve you.
Peoples will serve you.
Nations will bow down to you.
Nations will bow down to you.
You'll be master of peoples.
You'll be master of peoples.
And other people will bow down to you.
And other people will bow down to you.
Say to them, say, cursed be those who curse you.
Cursed be those who curse you.
And blessed be those who bless you.
And blessed be those who bless you.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
It is that simple. That is it. Now I want us to do it individually, using your own words. Open that scripture. Begin to declare it the way you like it. There are things that Isaac did not say directly. Say it. Say things like, you will build multinational companies. The angels of God will defend you. Though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil. Say, I sustain you with grain. I sustain you with new wine. In the name of Jesus, lack is not your portion. Everywhere you go, God will command favor to flow towards you. Say, the Lord will surround you with favor round about as with a shield. Say it loud that the Lord will surround you round about with favor as with a shield. Declare Psalm 23 over them. Though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil. The Lord will always be with you. The Lord will be within your going out and in your coming in. Wherever you are, far away from home, close to home. Wherever you are, far away from home, close to home, the angels of the Lord will continue to defend you. They will deliver you from all trouble. When you enter into a vehicle, safety is your portion. When you alight from that vehicle, safety is your portion. When you fly in the air, safety is your portion. When you go by boat, safety is your portion. Say to your children, I will not have to worry over you, because God will take care of you. Because God will take care of you. Because God will defend you and protect you. Oh, say to your children, God will give you the dew of heaven. God will give you the fatness of the earth. You will have abundance of grain. And you have abundance of new wine. Peoples will serve you. Men will serve you. Men will bow down to you. Foreigners will bow down to you. They will seek your favor. They will seek your blessing. Because of the glory of God that will be seen upon you. Because of the glory of God that will be seen upon you. Let's pray that prayer like Timothy. Say that the faith of God that is in me will dwell more abundantly inside you. You will serve God in a greater measure. You will love the word of God in a greater measure. Tell your children, say, you will love God. You will love God. I will not lose any one of you to this world. Bless them with long life and with prosperity. Say, you will live and you will not die. You will live into old age. You will confound every statistics. When they say life expectancy is so, say, that one I don't know. I'm not looking at your genes, I'm not looking at your genotype. I am telling you, you will live, you will not die. You will see your children, your children's children, and the children of those one also. You will see the children of your children's children. In the name of Jesus. That God will be with you. I just feel like doing something. Everybody, just close your eyes for a moment. Then do this one anytime you have the opportunity. But in your heart, just form a picture and start laying hands on them one by one. Then inside your heart, Take your son, say, in Jesus' name, it is well with you. They say, look, as you are doing that, your spiritual hand is landing on somebody's head. Your child may be abroad right now. They may have gone for holiday somewhere. As you are doing it, if something, you know, healing is entering their body. Fever is departing away from them. Protection is being, you know, into them. Say, it shall be well with you. Yeah, spiritually, yeah, lay hands on them. It is well with you. 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 Declare it that it's well with your whole households. Declare it. For those of you that don't have children here, when your children are born, they will start talking shortly after because of the power of the anointing of God. When strange things begin to happen, just know why. You were praying for those children before they were born. You were praying for those children before they were born. Just begin to give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, I thank you. Oh, just say, Lord, I thank you. Thank you for the privilege. Thank you for that power. Thank you for that thing that the poor and the rich have. Thank you. Just say, Lord, thank you. Say, Lord, we give you thanks. Let's just wave our hands and just thank him. Say, Lord, we thank you. Because you are good. Say, great is the Lord. And greatly to be praised. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you.
How can you work when you don't know the way of the wind? And how can you run when you don't know the way of the Spirit? And how can you fly like the eagles when you don't know the way of the wind? But there's a power at work in you, and it's bringing everything in you in obedience to Christ. He's bringing everything in us in obedience to Christ. We have swallowed our pride and we choose to swallow it. We have come to the school of the Spirit. Don't you know, in his hands are the keys to eternal life. A little here and a little there, till the day we're done. He's at work in us, bringing everything in obedience to Christ. He's bringing everything in obedience to Christ. Every day swallow your pride and come to the school of the Spirit. Don't you know, in his hands are the keys to eternal life. A little here and a little there, till the day we're done. He's at work in us, bringing everything in obedience to Christ. See, God is doing something new every day. God is doing something new in our lives. And he won't stop. He won't stop until we look just like him. He won't stop. He won't stop until we look just like him. See, you may not feel it. You may not see it now. You may not understand it. You may not be able to describe it. But when it's over, when it's over, when it's over, we will look just like him. And he won't stop. He won't stop until we look just like him. He won't stop. He won't stop until we look just like him. God is doing something new in your life. See, God is doing something new every day. and he won't stop. He won't stop until we look just like him. He won't stop. He won't stop until we look just like him. You may not see it. You may not be able to describe it. Words may fail you. You may not understand it. But just believe in. Just keep believing. For when it's over, when it's over, we will look just like him. Say, Lord, don't stop. Lord, don't stop until I look just like him. Can you say, Lord, don't stop. Lord, don't stop until I look just like you. Say, Lord, don't stop. Oh, Lord, don't stop until I look just like. One more time. Lord, don't stop. Lord, don't stop until I look just like you.
Hallelujah. 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 Father, we give you thanks for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for that ministration. Thank you for answering our prayers. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you're blessed today, shout a loud amen.
Amen.